Welcome to the Horror Friendly Podcast.
It's not over since that bitch is dead.
Let's delve into that a bit deeper.
I'm going to be like the peacekeeper between you two tonight.
Don't fuck with the original.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast, part of the You Run Podcast Network.
Woo!
My name is Katie, and I am joined by Chantel, as you can see from this video.
We're in one location.
I can't believe this has happened. It's amazing. And we've got these delicious cocktails made by
my partner.
We say partner. Like, the podcast knows who Mitch is.
Yeah, he's been
around. He's been on Wrong Turn, so.
Yeah, I love that he's been on one episode, therefore everyone must know exactly who he is. And if you don't know who he
it's
is.
It's very true.
Listen to Wrong Turn.
Yeah.
He's the Bristolian fuck in the background. And every now and then his voice comes up in the background because I don't live in a very big flat.
Yeah. It's like we're kind of looking at you.
I know, it's weird. I don't like, because I should be looking at you.
I know.
So, I'm looking at a computer. So also at some point there may be a disruption when Mitch brings us our next drinks, but it's
absolutely,
okay.
We're only
three in and we've eaten, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
Are you ready for this?
I was born ready, mate.
Are we ready to get fucking angry? Uh-huh. Okay. To our lovely listeners, please look after yourselves. We will be talking about rape and sexual assault in this episode. So if that is not for you, please go find one of our other episodes to listen to and look after yourselves.
I'm a nice guy.
Are you?
I thought we had a connection, I guess.
A connection? Okay. What do I do for a living? Sorry, maybe that one's too hard. How old am I? How long have I lived in the city? What are my hobbies? What's my name?
So this week we have decided to cover the 2020 Promising Young Woman thriller. It says thriller crime. I'm sorry, but it should be crime thriller. Who says thriller crime? Anyway, getting off point. Cassie, a young woman, takes it upon herself to seek revenge for her best friend, Nina, who committed suicide after being raped by their classmate, Al Monroe. Katie, first time watching it?
No. Ooh. No, I watched this a couple of years ago. Absolutely loved it. But I've not watched it since. So, yeah, watching it for the podcast was, yeah. You kind of watch it in a different way when you're, like, covering it for the pod.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, I fucking loved it. Like, I loved it the first time round and I loved it just as much this time. What about you? Is this your first time?
It was. I remember seeing the trailer, advert, whatever we call it in England, and thinking, oh my God, that looks great. And then life came about and I never actually went to see it. So it was one of those that was always on my list. And then when you suggested it, I was like, yes, let's fucking do it. And I remember I did look it up to be like, it doesn't technically count as horror. Although I think that depends on your gender, your life.
Because
for some people, this is absolutely a horror. I think they could have made it a horror. Because obviously, as we say, it was a crime thriller. But the opening... Sorry, I'm drinking, so I'm going to stop burping and everything. It's going to be disgusting. but that opening of her like walking along, eating the donut, covered in red. Obviously, amazing. Before you see the donut, you automatically assume she's murdering these guys.
Yes, you do.
Which I know, yeah, again, they did that intentionally, but it does make you think this could have been a horror. This could have been so much. Yeah, they could have gone a completely different way. And it would have taken a lot.
Definitely.
So I do think that was really fucking cool. What a fucking great film.
Oh, God, I know. That opening as well. Like, that's such a good point because I wasn't sure. I think, like, the reason why we wanted to branch out a little bit and cover things that aren't just kind of, like, obvious horror.
Yeah,
because this is more like real life horror. This is things that problems that women face on the daily. And we just wanted to try something a bit different.
Yeah.
So I think that was kind of like our main reason for it.
What a fucking great suggestion.
I'm proud of this suggestion, it's guys. Like,
so good.
Yeah, I was really hoping you'd love it. Yeah. I wasn't sure because we've had a few like different opinions recently.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with us.
I don't know what's going on.
And I swear I wish it's over. I know I'm drunk now, but I swear I wish it's over. I would never watch drunk. I'd only record drunk. I'm a professional.
So professional.
But firstly,
let's get into it.
I mean, the opening, great. And again, I think I got the idea of what the film was going to be from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of was, as soon as you see her drunk, I was like, okay, I know she's playing.
Okay. So I went in blind.
Yeah. So you didn't know that she was actually going to be sober.
No.
So if you watch the trailer,
right,
it has that clip in that we actually put on the Instagram where she suddenly sits up in the bed. I think that, I mean, it's a great scene, but I knew it was coming.
Right, okay.
So I was like, okay, she's obviously not drunk. But then every fucking scene or every other scene in this is another huge name.
Mm.
I was like, the fuck did they get all these actors? But I don't know if the actors wanted to be involved because it was such an important topic, if, you know, they just didn't have any work at the time. So they're like, yeah, come and be in this great film. I don't know, but fucking everyone's in it. Levon Cox from bloody Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Fucking
Jennifer
Coolidge.
Bo
Burnham,
Carey Mulligan, Alison Brie plays Madison,
Adam Brody.
Again, Adam Brody,
not a massive. Honestly, you don't see him in that much, but for our generation, he was huge.
Mm. It kind of reminded me of getting a familiar face, you know, in the beginning of Scream movies.
Yes,
you know when they kill off a character, but it's it's a well known actor.
Yeah,
And it felt a bit like that. Like Adam Brody was obviously in the opening scene. Where it kind of sets up what she's doing, why she's doing it, but what exactly she's doing. And it kind of reminded me of Scream in that way, the setup of it.
Yeah. No, actually, now that you said that, I can see that. That is who I think it is, isn't it? Christopher Mintz, please.
Mm. McLovin.
McLovin. And again, I was
McLovin's in this.
I don't know if they, and he was in Cars too, and everything. And I was like, did they just go and find people that were our generation? Because again, he just popped up, but again, for a scene, he was only really in it for a scene, and they're all willing to play these terrible guys.
Yeah,
where the fuck is Schmidt? I can't find him. Schmidt from New Girl.
Oh, I don't know.
What's his bloody real name? That's gonna really bug me if I can't find him.
I don't know.
Can't believe he's not listed. He played the. Oh my god! I just realised I did actually take notes. This is how I'm not drunk. I made notes and everything for this. I just didn't get them out. But yeah, Smith from New Girls was in this playing a really terrible guy. And I was like,
I don't remember.
That's because again, you don't want to get typecast as an actor.
Oh, I know who you mean. It was, was that his name?
Yeah.
That's weird. Al's friend?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was like, there's definitely people missing.
Yeah, so it was Al's friend, right?
Oh, that's top cast, that's why. Yes.
It was Al's friend, the one that kicked her hand in the fire. Had absolutely no regard
just
for her
body. Just did not care about anything. Joe, there you go. Max Greenfield.
Al Monroe, beg your pardon. Yeah, Max Greenfield.
Bug me if I could not remember that.
Yeah, so Al Monroe's best friend, Joe, who's been best friends with him since med school, has obviously covered up this situation for him as well.
Because that was it. As soon as, we've jumped straight to the end, but as soon as she comes in and says the name Nina,
Nina Fisher.
Thank you. But as soon as he's like, oh, did Joe put you up to this? So Joe knows everything. And again,
Joe's been with him since the beginning.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I know, it's a really hard thing because I'm like, I'm all for guys having friendships where it's like ride or die because, you know, that's us. But also, there's a fucking limit. If your mate's a rapist and a murderer, don't have to call it quits.
Yeah. There's a difference between Cassie and Nina, a huge difference.
Mm.
You've got the whole Cassie and Nina friendship. Where they would die, where she would die for her.
Yeah.
And then you've got that friendship, which is just...
Is what we said, it's I'll kill up. For you or I'll kill because of you. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference. Yeah. So, guys, we encourage friendships.
Mm.
Please know the limit.
Yeah.
Please don't rape people and cover it up. What's fucking scary is we have to say that in this fucking day and age. The amount of things you see where it's like, oh, we urge women to look after yourselves. We urge women not to get drunk and not dress up. Urge men not to rape. Because a film like this, and again, I don't know, I should have looked, I'm sorry. I want to look at the director and see how she got all those actors, because was it just because they thought it was such an important message that they were all willing to take those roles? Because it's a dangerous fucking role.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. for a male actor to take, to be like typecast as a rapist. That's yeah. really fucking dangerous.
Yeah, very much so.
But also really fucking important because it fucking happens.
Yeah.
All the fucking time.
Well, even like starting with the opening scene with Jerry and how I've kind of said, like, it does feel a bit like Scream, where they kind of open with a kill, or like open with like a kind of well-known actor playing, you know, a guy who's going to be killed off.
Yeah.
But I found that very interesting that they went straight into the guy, that the nice guy. Yeah. This is kind of what this film is about. It's about the nice guys and how, like, they aren't nice guys.
But it's the guys.
Guys are the worst.
The guys that call themselves the nice guys are the biggest problems. Mm. Like, fucking hell.
Mm. So he was like, oh, I'm just gonna go over there and see if she's
okay.
And then even at the point where they're in the Uber, you kind of think, okay, potentially. And then when he's like, I'm just near my flat, do you want to go up? That's as soon you knew shit was gonna go down. Like, you don't just say that to someone that's blackout drunk. She can barely walk. Like
do you want to come to my flat? No, like, you were literally taking her home, you were doing everything right. Why did your brain suddenly switch and go, I'll take advantage?
Yeah, like no. Oh, I don't have my phone. Yeah.
Yeah, like, just get her home. Mm. And this is the thing, it doesn't matter that she's in that state. You can't take advantage. You just fucking can't.
No.
But it's that, and then he's in the flat apologizing to his friends, like, they're such assholes. I'm like, you're about to rape her.
Mm.
But because they were making comments. But again, when guys see themselves on that different level, and it's like, oh, but I'm a good guy, I deserve the sex because I tried to take you halfway home and then took you to my house. No, you don't deserve shit for pretending to be a nice guy. Yeah. Oh, fucking. The thing is, this film is so infuriating because it's so real.
Mm.
And it's like,
yeah, it's very real. And that's why it feels like a real life fucking horror film.
Mm. And all those guys at the beginning where it's like, well, she shouldn't be that blackout drunk. Can she even stand? And immediately it's that victim blaming.
Absolutely.
So every single one, there was a thing I saw earlier, actually. It was like, when men get drunk and alcohol, like, it forgives them for everything. Because, oh, he was just drunk, he didn't mean it. But if a woman gets drunk, we then forgive their actions. Because, like, oh, well, she was drunk. What did you expect him to do?
Mm.
Not rape me.
Mm.
It shouldn't be that fucking hard.
Yeah.
Why is that hard? Ugh. I hate
this
world.
This film is a lot.
It's a lot, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
What did you think? I mean, I don't know whether I'm like too early getting into this, but I noticed with Cassie how she was almost kind of like childlike in her ways.
I know what you mean.
Like the fact that, I mean, she would wear these clothes and they were beautiful clothes, but they would all be kind of like white with flowers and it would be quite childlike. Mm. And like when she went to visit Nina's mum, she would be drinking like a juice carton. And like eating sweets in the car when she was the dean's daughter, when she was trying to like the principal's daughter.
Yeah.
There were just things like that where she was kind of like quite childhood, and I wondered whether like she was trying to revert back to the days of
she always had her nails like multiple different colours,
like kind of like a child would do, or like you would with your best friend, and she would have her friendship necklace on. And
yeah,
it's almost like she's trying to get back to that time with her and Nina,
which
makes me want to cry.
Which I think is that as well. Hit the nail on the head. Like, she's got so much regret from that time. She's trying to relive.
She wasn't there when she died.
She wants to wake up every morning and be back there. She hates being an adult without her best friend.
Yeah,
because what they say, she was 30.
Yeah,
so she's had what, 10 years? Okay, maybe 8 years because of like, obviously doctor school. But like, to be a nurse or a doctor, you're at fucking
med school or whatever.
Yeah, med school's long. So she could have been like early 20s, but like, that's a fucking long time to like live with that guilt and like not have a best friend. So it probably is a bit of repression, but it is fucking hard because I can kind of see that. But then also there's the other flip where actually she's putting herself into these really dangerous adult situations that she has to handle with such a fucking head screwed on. But she's also very witty, like when she's in the coffee shop and she's just ignoring customers. Mm. Like, there is a kind of line between an adult that doesn't give a shit and a teenager that's just fucking throwing their toys out the pram.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's an interesting character. There's a lot of layers to her. I do really like her.
Mm, I like her too.
I think what's dangerous is she just doesn't care.
No.
She's given up. Not even given up. She's still fighting, but she just doesn't care what happens to her.
No, she doesn't.
Which is a scary position to be in, is someone who doesn't care. If you've got nothing to lose... you're fucking terrifying.
Yeah, cause... very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Oh, God.
I was like, I had to put down, does she just scare them? I hope she killed them. Because it was when she was doing the notebook and you can see all the tallies and she writes their names down. But then the contrast is that she can write their name down. They couldn't even tell you her name.
Mm.
And yet she's keeping tally of all these. I wonder if she ever checked back on them to see if they were still doing it.
I wonder. I do wonder. Well, I mean, I guess there was like, well, you kind of get the outcome like with Jerry, Adam Brody, when the other guy picks her up from the bar.
A bit later on.
Yes.
When she bumps into... No, it's fine. Sorry, you can put that in the middle if you want to speak it. Was that the guy...
Paul, played by Sam Richardson.
Yes.
Paul, and said, oh, you're the fucking crazy girl that Jerry was talking about.
Yeah.
So you can tell that, like, how Jerry has reiterated that story is that, like, oh, she was a fucking psycho.
But again, she's not...
She didn't want to have sex.
But he's not even learned his lesson. Instead, it's just, oh, the crazy girl.
Yeah. So that's kind of, you got your answer there.
Yeah. He didn't fucking learn.
No, he just called her a psycho.
Yeah. This one psycho bitch who didn't want to have sex with me, you mean who didn't want you to rape her, is apparently a psycho. But I also love when she's like, I'm not the only woman that does this as one that carries scissors.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be one of those girls.
The thing is, though.
Oh, do you reckon it's real? Sorry.
You know what? Like, I did wonder that actually after watching this film. I was like, do you think girls did go out and like start to do it?
I really want to know.
I know.
Because.
What do you guys think?
What do you think? This is so weird. So...
I feel like we're on this morning.
With
Ollie and Phil.
So, Phil.
Why am I Phil?
No, I didn't mean you were Phil. Oh. I meant we're judging Phil because he's male. And also has a slightly sketchy past.
Yeah.
Problematic.
Yeah. Phillips Gayford.
I've already ran out.
Yeah, it does show. So it shows that he didn't learn. He just kind of called her a psycho. Everyone believed him. And that was it.
Well, of course they believed him. Like,
of course they believed him.
It's such a fucking... Oh, she pretended to be drunk. Okay. Okay. Yeah, but she didn't want to have sex. Okay, it doesn't matter if you're drunk, sober, or what. You can change your...
I think, like, the difficulty with this film is that, like, she is doing something out of the ordinary.
She is.
She is calling men out, which is completely great.
Mm.
But she is also, as you rightly said, putting herself in danger. And she isn't, like, people don't do this normally. She's doing it because she's...
I've never heard of it.
I'm petrified. Really... She's so...
She doesn't care. She doesn't care if she does.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care. And she's so heartbroken about Nina. Yeah. And the fact that she wasn't there, she's trying to do everything in her power to stop it happening from someone else.
And that's the dangerous thing.
She is behaving kind of unhinged.
Yeah.
Because she's putting herself in danger.
No, she absolutely is. And I think, again, as we said, that's the most dangerous thing. When someone's got nothing to lose, they're fucking dangerous.
Mm.
I really kind of hope this is real. Like, I also do and I don't, because unfortunately I know those women would get murdered immediately. Not immediately, but pretty fucking quickly, because, again, men would rather kill the woman than ruin their own reputation.
Yeah.
But she says everything as well. She always gives them an out. I noticed that. So when she's with them and when they're like, again, we'll go with Jerry. So he's like obviously working his way down. He literally takes off her fucking pants. So he's staring at her fucking vagina. So, like, she's got fucking... She just doesn't care. She's, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. Like, with... I can't call him McLovin. Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Yes.
And she says, like, oh, you stuck your fingers inside me. You didn't even think to stop to check.
Yeah.
So she's letting them. Like,
yeah.
But you know what I mean? She's letting them in terms of...
She's letting them to a degree.
Yeah, like, she's in control of the situation.
Yeah.
She doesn't care. Like, yeah, someone took her like pants off. Someone started putting their fingers inside her. She was like, yeah. We'll let it get to a certain point.
She's almost using herself as a prop.
Yeah,
her body as a prop until we get. But she gives them an out several times because she always says like, I should get home. Call me an Uber.
Mm,
or,
she does. What
are you doing? What are you doing? She always asks like, what are you doing to make them think? Or she says like, stop. I think with one of them. She says, like, stop, no, and, like, they don't. And it's only then where she's like, you're not going to stop. Now I'm going to reveal I'm sober.
Because
I did wonder that. I was like, if Jerry had taken her home, would she have just been like, thank you, you're a good guy, and gone upstairs?
Yeah.
Because again, like, he's proved, you know, proved
well,
he's
then,
a good guy.
You know, yeah. She's kind of been like, okay, well, cool. I've been proved wrong. Fine.
Yeah. And I bet she fucking loves that when she actually gets proved wrong to be like, yeah,
yeah,
you actually did the right thing. You're not out, you're not a danger to women. Great. Love that you're out there.
Yeah.
And then you get every other fucking guy that she's come across where it's like, nope, take it too far, because apparently, and yeah, again, it's Neil Christopher Mintz, where he's like, did I think his name is Please earlier? I think we're drunk. Where it is just that, where it's like, yeah, let's just keep pushing because I'm high.
And yeah, so, and like putting coke like in her
in her mouth.
And, yeah.
Yeah, like making her take coke. So not even just getting her drunk, but like literally drugging her. Like, for fuck's sake, what's wrong with men?
Tells angry.
Men.
Tells angry.
I am. Too. And I know, like, don't be wrong, I know some women are fucked up and do this to other women, because again, I've read some of the stories I've heard about, like female relationships are fucking scary, but they're also the rarity. And this isn't even like relationships, this is literally like just one night stands and they're immediately taking advantage of drunk girl. I love Laverne Cox's character, Gail, in the coffee shop. I love as well, then Ryan turns up, she's immediately like grilling him. I did think it was a bit harsh to be like, have you killed a child?
Yeah,
like, I mean, a child died in surgery, so you killed a child, like.
And he was kind of like, okay, fair enough.
Well, no, but he took that so well. I was like, I'm not being funny, but like, accidents happen in surgery. How can you just take it so calm that you're literally being accused of murder because something went wrong?
Well, Ryan's a nice guy, you know.
No, Ryan's a cunt, as we later find out. I was so annoyed as well, because I literally put like, Ryan is a green flag.
Oh my god, yeah.
He was such a green flag.
So you wouldn't have known this, Tal. So you got like sucked into his like charm.
It was that whole thing in the beginning, right?
As
like,
he did.
So here's
an audience member.
Yeah, here's the thing, because he was a green flag.
Green flag.
And this was the funny thing. I think it was really important that they obviously showed us some of Cassie's scenes first, like with the other guys, where we kind of heard her dialogue that she uses on the drunk guys, and then he was saying the exact polar opposite. So it was almost like he knew, kind of, it was almost like he knew, but also just like how he knew to be a good guy. So he was like, oh, this is my flat, but you don't have to come up, but you can come up for a drink if you want, but you don't have to.
Emerald Fennell, the director, she played it so well with being like, oh, does he just want one thing? Or is it just because they really vibed well and he wanted to take it a bit further?
Because that banter in the coffee shop, with like spitting in his coffee, I mean, that was a bit gross, but it was really good banter. And I was like, okay, they seem to vibe.
Yes, yeah, so you don't think like, oh, fucking hell, prick, when he's asking her up. It was just that they got on so well that he was just like, yeah, I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
And at the time you kind of think, oh yeah, because Cassie then like kind of retreats back and she's like, no. So it puts you as an audience member fully in trust with Ryan, because you think, oh, it's Cassie's problem, it's not Ryan's.
Yes.
Not her problem, but like something she's dealing with because of what she's been through.
But when she's like, yeah, let's go upstairs as well, in my head I was like, she's gonna test and see how far he's, because again, she might be pleasantly surprised where he just serves her coffee and then she goes home.
Did she say that then? I thought she said no and then walked
no
off.
no, she did. I think at one point she said, yeah, let's go up, or yeah, it's fine, or something. And then they decided no, and she went away. But it might, because again, she was like, is he just after one thing? But I think that was kind of interesting, because she could have gone up.
Yeah.
And she could have tested him, and it could have been innocent. But again, I think it was played really well, whereas like right now is kind of, it could go either way.
You just like saw like the clips of them in bed together, and
yeah, that was a bit later on, wasn't it?
I know, like, and it was such a nice time, and so you could tell that she had been intimate with him at that point.
So I even wrote down at one point, I can't remember where my notes are, but I was almost annoyed that she'd obviously been on this fucking mission, and then I know Nina's mum was like, you need to let it go, and then suddenly she met this guy, and then like brought him home.
Everything was going well for her.
Yeah, but I was almost annoyed that, like, in a film, they were just like, oh, put her in a relationship, that will solve everything. And I know later it obviously wasn't that simple, but I was, like, kind of annoyed that I was, like, we didn't see her kind of, like, working on herself. We just saw, oh, this man will fix it. Obviously,
fair.
He turned into a piece of shit, so good twist. But it was that where I was, like, no.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, I was, like, he's not going to fix everything, and he didn't.
He definitely did not.
He definitely did not. However, I don't know, and I don't know if this is just a personal preference.
There's so much to talk about.
There's so much. So many layers.
Tells are top tier, everyone. Ladies
again,
and gentlemen.
Can't focus.
They're really fucking helping us with this podcast.
Well, thank you.
I might have to take a picture of these because I feel like everyone needs to see these.
People will be like, well, fuck, she rambling
beautiful
about.
Writing.
Well, thank you. And again, I think this is massively a personal preference, but because she had a lot of trauma from college, uni, whatever they call it, because I don't know where this is set. Is this America? Obviously around losing Nina. As soon as Ryan turned up, he's like, oh, didn't we go to school together? Never would have dated him. And again, that's a personal preference. But because as soon as he started mentioning, like, he mentioned Al, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I was like,
I still sees the guys.
Yeah. And I think for me, that would have been such a big, I can't date you. She's done all of this to like separate herself from her past while also kind of clinging on to some of the past. But I was like, could I fuck have dated someone who was still, if you're trying not to be a part of that, like she doesn't talk to Madison anymore. Although again, we find out a bit more why later. I just don't think I could have given him a chance. And I know we obviously needed it to be him for the kind of reveal later.
Mm.
But I was just like, I couldn't have dated him
knowing
he was in that part of your life.
No.
But again, that's a complete personal preference. Mm. So more for her because she gave, well, you know.
Yeah, I think her thing was that like, it was kind of like he knew of those people, but he didn't run in the same circles. And as far as she was aware, it was Al Monroe that had raped Nina.
Yeah.
No one else. And I think that's kind of what she was just kind of going with, and she didn't think that Ryan was like associated with.
Yeah, and I get that, but I just think it was
interesting.
Yeah, she didn't obviously have any connection to this school anymore. And then, but as well, like she wasn't meeting anyone else, and then everyone was telling her to like meet someone. She obviously vibed with him.
Yeah.
So like, you know, fair fucking play. She wanted to give it a go. Like, I'm not judging that. I just think for me, that would have been such a hard... Mm. And I do think we do see it, actually, where she's obviously got a little bit of... she
when
is resisting it.
Them. Mm.
Yeah, she is resisting it a bit. And I think it does dig up, like, open up old wounds where she's, like, using him to look on... It wasn't Facebook. It was, like, a knockoff version of Facebook or whatever it was.
The fact that he lived in England, I think, for a bit, and then, like, moved back, and she now knows that he moved back, and she's kind of using Ryan as information, insider information, and there were kind of, like, hints along the way, the fact that, like, he knew, I know, like, we found out at that point, but he knew where the stag do was going to be, and he said, like, he does hang around with them, and the fact he was invited to their wedding, like, you, I'm not saying that, like, that means you're an accomplice, but like there were slight hints of him like, okay, so they've put this character in there, but why is he even slightly associated with the guy? If he was a good guy, why is he just not this fresh new character that's come from?
And I think that was a big part of it for me as well, because I was like, he's, as you say, there's like, he's kind of associated enough to be invited to the wedding, not to the stag.
Mm, interesting.
So you could say, okay.
Trying to sort of.
Yeah, he was just
associate himself to make himself look better.
Yeah, but and it's like, because didn't it turn out that he worked at the same hospital as Al?
That was it.
So again, it might be like, oh, okay, it's a politeness invite. Mm. So you could kind of theorize a few things, but I think that whole, that actually he wasn't into the stag. So if he'd been at the stag, I think it would have been a whole other kind of fish.
Mm.
But so it was an interesting one. I was like, just I couldn't do it, I don't think. No. But I might have used him to try and get more information. if I had the fucking balls to do what she does.
God,
Jesus Christ.
So in terms of the people she meets up with, like, I think we need to talk about, like, Madison, the lawyer, and the... I want to call her the... I called her the same thing earlier, and I can't remember what I called her. Not principal, but the person that's in charge of the college of the university.
The admin person.
Yeah. Like the
administrative.
Yeah. So there's those three.
So,
I mean, do you want to talk about Madison briefly?
Yeah. Thoughts on Madison?
I mean, she's perceived to be this kind of like girl that's got lucky in life.
My life is perfect.
Yeah. She's completely forgotten about the past and like, oh my God, nobody's seen you in so long. And like, there's a reason for that, and it's the fact that, like, none of them, maybe they need to be reminded deep down, but none of them on the surface remember what happened to Mina.
Well, I don't know. I took it a different way with Madison, because okay. I thought, because Madison was like still making up some of the old excuses where it was like, oh, but we were all blackout drunk like regularly. And
yeah.
So I took it that Madison was kind of just still in denial.
Okay.
It's like, no, Al would never do that. Because again, we know that Al is still getting is still friends with Al a lot. Madison is still friends with Al. Because it's like, oh, two of my favorite people, or whatever she commented on their post.
I wonder how fake that was, though. I wonder if
she
wasn't at the wedding, was she?
No, but is that because everything that happened? Maybe she was like, oh yeah, I conveniently remember this video, because this was because she even said like, oh, we saw this video. Obviously, this was slightly later. It was like, oh, we saw this video, and at one point we all thought it was funny. So again, like she knew the truth, but. Again, we literally said this earlier, and this sounds like so off topic of the film, but we obviously went on holiday when we were 18 and we didn't realize you were ill.
We like, spoke about this earlier.
We literally spoke about this earlier, so we should come up. But like you had like symptoms of an illness. It wasn't that bad, don't worry. But like both of us were 18 and oblivious. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if there is a bit of that, like, oh no, Nina was definitely drunk. And you hear all that same bullshit. But it's just fucking excuses.
Yeah, they were both drunk, like they were both just like sleeping with each other, and we thought it would be funny to film it.
But the funny thing is, not the funny thing, when they say, oh, I can't believe we ever thought that was funny, how vile is this video? Like, because again, it doesn't sound like it looks like consensual sex. It sounds like it was pretty obvious it wasn't. And I think that's the problem. That's the problem with Madison, is that obviously she lived in this fucking bubble of, oh, everything's great, I've got twins and life's amazing. And it's like, oh yeah, now it's a problem because I might have done wrong and I don't remember what happened. It's like, oh, but you didn't care when it happened to another girl.
Very true.
And I think that was it. It was a lot of not being able to put herself in someone else's shoes. But yeah, just hearing some of those excuses is all shit that we all hear all the fucking time when these cases go to court. And everyone just repeats the same bullshit of, oh, but they were drunk, it was college, everyone was drinking.
What were you wearing? You have to give these people the benefit of the doubt.
No, you fucking don't.
Like the admin person.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You have to give these men the benefit of the doubt.
Why? Why are we not giving the women any fucking... Oh, I hate it so much. Because I think this film hits it so fucking hard where it was... Of all those three, the one that knew they'd done wrong was the lawyer.
Amazing.
Absolute, a male lawyer.
Yeah. It's interesting that they picked that they picked for the man to have some kind of empathy.
Yeah. Which again, I don't know. Is there a thing with women where it's like, well, I wouldn't put myself in that situation, so it wouldn't happen? And it's like, well, no, it would. And I think it was an interesting way of showing that actually some women do think like that, but also it's not just women, it is obviously men that think like that as well. But I think it was interesting being voiced by women because actually sometimes if people are like, people can't believe it happens. And again, this actually isn't just rape, it's for racism as well, because people are like, well, I've never experienced it. It's like, doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And I think that was really...
Well, I've been careful on a night out. So, I mean, it's not as bad as people say. Like, you can
just... Yeah, I've been on loads of nights out and nothing's ever happened. Well, good for you. Like, lucky you. Because actually, that is luck. Mm. Unfortunately, it really is luck. Mm. Because, fuck me, there's so many... Oh, my God. Women have had to fucking invent nail varnish so that we could tell if there was drugs in our drink. So the men went, oh, well, it's, you know, and then there was like straw fucking cup covers to cover bottle lids and then fucking cup covers, because it's so hard to fucking get men to just not rape and not drug women. The women have to carry all this extra shit.
Women have to hold the responsibility.
And then, so we did all of this to protect our drinks. So men started injecting women. Because you and I actually had a conversation, so I don't even know if I'm comfortable going out anymore. And we have been out since then and we've been okay. Doesn't mean every fucking woman has. Right. Like, that's fucking terrifying. Like, and you and I actually, yeah, touch wood, you and I actually do have, and with Charlie as well, we do have protocols, we do. Like, we never send someone home on their own. Mm. Like, we'd never let one of us go off with a random guy. Like, that just wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But we are actually really strict like to make sure everyone gets home okay. So even if one of us was drugged, we would still be safe. But unfortunately, that's not the case, especially in somewhere like a uni when everyone lives down the hall. Like, you can stumble home. You don't have to. You'd think you wouldn't have to worry about your friend. It's bullshit. I'm going on an absolute rant. I'm going to give a shit. The world's a horrible place. Men, and, well, unfortunately, sometimes women as well, but mostly men are doing horrible things to women, and they're fucking bullshit, and they deserve their penis cut off for it. They do! So, if you're willing to rape, lose your fucking dick. That's all I'm saying. If you're not a rapist, you don't have anything to worry about.
Very true. Truer words have never been spoken. What did you think about her idea of having the man sleep in Madison's bed the next day? I thought that was almost kind of like out of character for Cassie. I felt like that was too cruel.
I actually made a comment.
Because you're actually, sorry.
No, you finish.
You're actually like, but regardless of her opinions and views, you're putting another woman's life in danger, even though you know it's not in danger, but you're making her feel that way. And I understand the whole point is because of revenge and things, but I thought this was revenge against men. Like, I felt like that was where
I think it was revenge against
the tables turned a bit for Cassie.
I think it was revenge against people involved, so not just the men.
No, yeah,
I think that's the thing, women can be bystanders. I mean, we can be the fucking rapists,
1 million percent.
Yeah, in that scenario, she was the bystander. I think it was. I actually made a note, and you'll see it on there somewhere. Did it make Cassie almost as bad as the rapists? I said almost because there was no rape involved. But this was the thing, because she said he didn't do anything to you. Actually, how does she know? Because again, she may trust this guy, but as we've just said, sometimes fucking people are arseholes.
Cassie doesn't know herself.
No, she wasn't there. She doesn't know what happened. So actually, I made a note that makes her as bad as the men, in my opinion. As bad as the men that were the rapists.
Yeah.
Because she put a woman in a very vulnerable position and left her with a guy on her own. It doesn't matter if she knows that guy and trusts him. How does she know this guy? How does she trust him? Like, we didn't get any of that backstory to actually explain why she trusts that guy so much. Because as far as we know, it was just a guy doing a job and getting paid for it. He could have taken advantage. Like, people are taking advantage of their jobs all the fucking time. That was awful. I didn't like it because I was like, this has now made you. I understand the point she was trying to make. And I understand it did actually pay off.
Yeah, it did.
But it was a fucking nasty thing to do. And I did lose it for Cassie. So, and again, I know at that point she didn't care. She was like, what do I have to lose? But nasty.
Very nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I wonder what they were sending, what she was going to send the guy in to do to the lawyer.
I know. Saying, oh, am I still getting paid? She was like, yeah. And just walked
off. Like, was he going to beat him up? Maybe beat him up. That wasn't going to be the same, let's be honest.
No, that's true. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know. But I thought the lawyer thing, I was quite surprised by that when I first watched that. Because that was quite like, okay, he's changed his tune.
For me, and again, I think it was a big part of that is he's changed his tune.
And this is someone that defends rapists on the daily.
Yeah.
Defends the kind of, like, frat boy.
But was he retired? Did I get that right? Or was he, like, he changed?
I think he was, yeah, retired.
I think he was retired.
Yeah.
So he'd obviously started to realise the shit he'd done. I think people do tend to, like, later in life, they start to realise how fucked up some shit was. Because, again, they're just following orders. And, oh, I get the bonus if I do this.
Yeah.
And as he said, like, you get one picture of a girl drunk dancing and the jury fucking lap it up. And I'm like,
so
fucked up.
So fucked up, but so believable.
So believable.
Like, this is going on a tiny bit of a tangent, but I was looking up this case in America where there is obviously fucking tons of them, where this young guy was accused of rape and with this girl that was passed out at a party. So quite kind of similar circumstances.
Yeah.
His first name was Brock. I can't remember his last name.
I know the one you mean. As soon as you said that,
yeah. And his dad did like a victim impact statement for him, or like a victim statement, and then the lawyer kind of ran with that. But what I believe Brock's dad said to him was, or said to the jurors, the jury, oh, you know, how can one night of action justify losing his swimming scholarship, losing this, losing that. And I think about that case a lot.
Yeah.
And he did get things taken away from him.
Yeah.
But he was, the judge of that case used to go to the same college as Brock went to.
So sure, that's a conflict of interest. Like, find a different fucking judge. Mm.
So he kind of reminded me of this guy, like the defense.
Yeah.
Because the defense kind of said, oh, one night of action. And the dad said one night of action. So clearly, even at this point, they don't know the impact they've made. They don't know like what they've done.
That's what blows my mind as well. And again, there is several cases. I'm sorry, I know the one you're fucking talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's horrific. I think he said the shit kicked out of him several times since then, if it makes you aware. Because his face was plastered everywhere and people were like, do not fucking trust this man. But my mind is so used. I'm so drunk.
The lawyer.
Yeah. I think that's
where I was going with it, because like they say these things and it's very, and like you said, like it's very easy. Yeah, it's a paycheck and it's very easy to convince a jury that like she was drunk, guys.
She was drunk, she asked for it. She consented and then she passed out. Okay, but she's passed out, so she can no longer consent. Mm. Funny thing is, you saying about that one, though, and like how the dad was like, oh, you know, it's one night. That sounds more like the administrative person who was like, we can't just, you know, accuse these poor men. Sorry, what? No, if there's, oh, but there was no proof. And then she even admitted, like, we get these accusations like once a week, twice, well, once a week.
Maybe you should look into those.
Maybe you should fucking look into them. Maybe we should start asking questions. Yes. Maybe men should be on a fucking curfew.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's so true. Like, yeah, the fact that there's once coming in weekly is like, is that not a cause for concern?
Yeah,
is
that not huge?
Something you should be looking into, if that's the case?
It's so fucked up when she's just so nonchalant. And then obviously when it's like, well, your daughter's in a cafe with a bunch of guys and suddenly she panics. I'm like, because you know what they're capable of. Mm. But for some reason, we blame the women. Mm.
It's different when it's her daughter.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, but we're going to blame the women for putting themselves in those situations. Like, despite the drugs, despite anything else, despite several men sometimes involved holding them down. Oh, God, it's horrible. Sorry, it's going to be very trigger warning.
Yeah, absolutely. And one interesting thing was the fact that, like, Cassie didn't give the daughter any drugs or alcohol.
No.
So even, like...
She left her there.
Yeah, the admin woman, she couldn't even sort of... Like, her reasons with Nina and Cassie were, like, girls are often drunk.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. But the fact that Cassie kind of like supposedly dropped her off at this place.
Yeah.
And she was fully sober. So this admin person, this principal, she had no argument.
Yeah.
Because her daughter was fully sober.
Yeah.
So she couldn't be like, she wasn't going to turn around and be like, oh, well, you know, my daughter was drunk.
No.
You know.
Still very aware that slightly kidnapping.
Yeah, well, this is also the thing. This is where it is. Like, this is kind of similar to the Madison situation, where it's like you're literally putting an innocent girl.
Yeah, she was a fucking child
that is nothing to do with her.
And I know the kid actually had no idea.
Where you have your like
difficult
relationship with Cassie throughout the film. It's a complicated relationship you have with her.
Yeah, I think it is, and that is it. She's not our heroine. She kind of isn't because it's. She's the imperfect one.
Yeah. Because Madison did do wrong.
Yeah. But you're not better. Yeah.
You're not better by doing something disgraceful like that.
Yeah, two wrongs don't make a right sort of thing.
And like, the daughter did nothing wrong. But I get it, she was trying to make a point. But you're putting someone else's life on the line.
Because she was like, oh, she's at this cafe with these guys. Oh, you know what they're like. Anything could have fucking happened. Yeah, she left her in a dorm room, and actually anything could have happened while she was talking to the mum, because it doesn't fucking take long. Like, literally 2 minutes can ruin your fucking life. It's terrifying.
Well, she said it was the dorm room, but actually she left her in just a cafe and she was safe.
Yeah, but it's still. So, it's going to be hours before she realised her boyfriend's not turning up. It's like, no. Because, again, anyone could have walked into that public space. Like, you don't kidnap a fucking child. Mm. Is essentially what she did. And I think that was the interesting thing with the lawyer, because again, I liked how they flipped the script, because again, nobody can say, oh, but women never forgive. It's always that, but you can't, this isn't hating on men, because you've literally got two women who are defending the rape, because again, they're using every fucking excuse in the book. And then you've got a guy who's genuinely sorry for it. Mm. And I think that's what Cassie wanted. She just wanted people to understand what the impact was, what had happened, that Nina had literally killed herself because of this. And everyone was pretending it didn't happen.
Yeah. And Cassie saying, I forgive you, to the lawyer. The lawyer just kind of breaks down.
That, I don't know if I could have forgiven, but I was glad. And again, I did kind of have this thought, because I was like, okay, it's all well and good. The lawyer saying, like, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Or did he ask for forgiveness? I can't remember. But like, okay, well, what are you now doing to actually, like, are you, as a lawyer? And again, maybe he was in the last years of his career. I don't know. We didn't really get that backstory. But I was like, are you now helping women who've been raped? Are you now lawyering for them? Lawyering. Being a lawyer for them. I don't know.
Let's go with that. Let's go with lawyering.
Let's go, yeah. I was like, are you now, offering your legal services for women who've been raped rather than trying to defend the rapists?
Yeah.
Like, because again, for me, I'm like, okay, it's a really horrible situation that he's in, because again, I think for him, it was a job, it was a paycheck. It doesn't make it okay, but it is what it is. And he might have been a young lawyer, he might have been naive. Probably not that young, actually, because when you look at the age gap between him and Cassie. But he should have fucking known better.
Yeah.
He has now learned, and he's genuinely remorseful. But what is he doing to actually help other women? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of it. It's like, you can be remorseful, but what are you putting back into the universe to try and help?
Yeah.
Because you can't save that one girl, but you could save others, especially as a well-trained lawyer.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, I need to see more from him. Mm. I know Cassie kind of was like, I forgive you. And he did kind of help her in the end.
He did.
But he did help her. I wanted a bit more from him. I wanted him to be like a flipped lawyer.
Yeah.
That would have been good for him. Mm. And maybe he did. In my mind, let's say that's what he was doing.
Yeah, we'll just say that.
Yeah, that's we're fine. Just going to say it. We're going to give him an ending.
Make up some shit. It's all good.
The film was only an hour and a half. We couldn't have all the information. That's
yeah,
going
on. Absolutely not.
I was going to say, maybe there's a promising young woman. Yes, two. And it's going to be about him fighting for the women. I hope
maybe.
So. That it I would could watch. Happen.
It could happen.
But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you.
No. But no, like the dean or the principal, whatever she is. I mean, that's pretty kind of. She's just kind of screaming at her and telling her, demanding to find out where her daughter is.
Yeah.
And the fact that Cassie says, oh, I don't have as much faith in men as you do.
Yeah.
Like, that hit different.
She's fucking badass, but I'm still like, you still kidnapped a fucking teenager. But had she not kidnapped, that would have been a fucking incredible scene, because again, she was really standing up to that.
Has she not,
you know, also broken the law? But it was really that, right? It's like, it's funny that you don't have faith in men, but you're willing to defend them all, because we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. Fuck off. Like, what? Who are you trying to prove this to?
Absolutely not.
It was, and then it was like, obviously, I think call it Matilda. I think it's Madeline. Fucking name. We shouldn't drink while we do that. Madison. I was close. Matilda, Madeline, Madison. Because when she then comes forward with the tape or the video on her phone, and obviously that changes the whole fucking course of the film. But even at that point, I think Cassie knew she went too far, because she's like, I'm really, it was fucked up. I didn't call you back.
Yeah. Well, it's because she's kind of in this relationship with Ryan, and she's doing better at her job, and she's happier.
And Nina's mum had even been like, you need to let it go. Yeah. I think it was almost permission to let it go. I think it was almost that guilt where it's like, I can't let it go because you're still grieving, and it was my fault. And it's like, it wasn't your fault. Like, so I think Nina's mum saying that was huge. But it was when she obviously got that, and then she took it to Ryan. And I literally was, it was like, you're insane. I honestly don't think I am. And I was like, that's fucking perfect. Because like, I think she had every fucking reason to be as angry as she was.
It's so gaslighting. Like, you're insane. What are you talking about?
I'm not insane. You raped my best friend. You're going to ruin my life. You literally have ruined mine and my best friend's. But you're worried. But, and again, this is the thing with men when they get off on these fucking, you're going to ruin a man's life. Okay, what about the women's lives he's ruined? And it's like, but because he's a doctor. And I'm like, okay, but there would have been two female doctors had one of them not been raped. Why? What? So angry at the world. I'm angry at everything.
You're allowed to be. You're absolutely allowed to be.
I'm allowed to be. The world is shite.
It is.
Hey there, listeners. Are you looking for something a bit different this month? Why not check out
From the Banks of Dewey Lake, it's the Dewey Pod Monster.
They're the original consumption podcast, so they cover things from films, even beer at one point. So why not check them out? They are covering a few films this month, including Dawn of the Dead, Roadhouse, and Iron Claw. So give them a listen. That's Dewey Pod Monster, also part of the You Run Network.
So once Cassie gets the tape,
mm-hmm.
everything kind of goes from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
And yes, I think it's wanted. It we find out that Ryan is an absolute piece of shit.
Those that haven't watched the film or like just don't mind about
spoilers. Why are you watching this?
Why are you watching this? I'm so glad you're here.
Hi. Hey. But if you haven't watched the film, stop now.
Yeah, stop now.
Go and watch the film and then come back because otherwise spoilers. My head looks huge and everything.
No, I look like a fucking egg. Look what you made. So, we need to break up the okay. So we find out that Ryan was there at the evening of
yes
Nina's rape, and he in fact watched it, thought it was funny. Yeah.
You hear his voice.
Yeah. So how did you feel as a first time watcher finding that out? Did you expect it? Did you think that Ryan is too good to be true?
Yeah.
Or were
a
you
bit.
Like, oh, okay, like Cassie's found someone?
I was a how little bit feel? Like, he's too good to be true. But again, once they did that kind of logo, I was kind of, as I said, I was kind of annoyed. I even wrote down, oh yes, because love fixes everything. Like quite sarcastic. And then the next scene we heard his voice and I was like, I'm actually gutted that he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Glad that his true colours are like shown because again, I didn't want her to get like married to this fucking arsehole. But it was that moment where I was like, I was quite gutted. I think it added a layer and I think it added obviously a lot of, it was when like all his truth, when he was just like shouting at her, you're insane. And I was like, you're no better so than any of the other. Yeah, it's so gaslighting. It's so fuck off.
Yeah, you fucking failure.
Oh, honestly.
Neither of us will be doctors, you fucking failure. And Cassie's just like, nice.
Yeah, she handled that so well. Mm. She's like, yeah. But like, she knew she made her choice and she was fine with it.
Yeah.
He was a piece of shit. And I just think, do you know what? He had so many opportunities to actually be a genuinely good guy, not just say the right things.
Very, very true.
And actually it showed his whole thing. And I think it was a good representation, unfortunately, of what a lot of women and men that date men see. Men that date men. Drunk gay people. But I think it was anyone who dates men, what we sometimes see, where there is that flip where it's like, oh, but I've been dating you for 2 months. Sorry. Or like that, like a few months, or I don't know how long this relationship been going.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this light bulb moment where everything flips and it's like, oh my God, can you just let me know you're a psycho on date two so I don't have to waste my fucking time?
I know.
Like, oh, and it's everything fucking came out that was just him putting her down, thinking so low of her.
Mm.
And it's like, what the fucking fuck? You watched a rape and thought it was funny. How can you think low of anyone?
It's like the evolution of Ryan, where you kind of walks in like the funny, kind of like nice guy, and then you kind of get sucked into his jokes and his things like throughout. And also, I love Bo Burnham, so it was very easy for me to just be like, yeah, he's awesome, I love him. But and then obviously then you find out, but it's almost kind of like, if he was a decent person and learnt from this thing, you could kind of find some sort of redemption in him. But the fact he doesn't, and also you had so many opportunities to be a good person.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, like, when the police came to visit him, he could have just been fucking honest.
I really thought he was going to redeem himself, and he absolutely didn't. And I don't know if that's better or worse in my mind.
I think it's more realistic.
It's definitely more realistic. What's interesting as well, and again, I might be off here because I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to completely spill some law shit. I'm not a lawyer, but had back in the day when the rape happened, obviously he was caught on tape, but we didn't know the tape existed. Although we didn't know it existed, but everyone else seemed to know about it because it got sent around. Had one of them taken it to the police, I don't know if anyone else in the film, other than the actual rapist, would have been convicted.
Mm.
Because I don't know if you can get convicted as a bystander. Mm.
I don't think it's the matter of being convicted. I think it's the matter of people knowing.
No, exactly. But this is my point. So if he had at uni gone to the dean and been like, there's a video. Yes, I'm in it. But this is Al raping Nina. Al would have been convicted because even at the wedding, only Al was arrested. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan could have gone off, been the actual right. Yes, he fucked up in the video.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and again, this is all hypothetical. So I actually don't know how the law system works. But he then could have still built up his practice and been a doctor, mm-hmm. guilt-free. But now, because he's like 10 years into being a doctor, he's like, oh my God, it'll ruin my reputation. But his reputation could have been that he sent a rapist to jail. Mm. And what a better reputation to have.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't know how it works in the law system. If there's a video, if you're in it, do you get done as an accomplice? Or are they only after the actual rapist? Because,
yeah,
because in that situation, it's like, okay, he laughed at it. He didn't stop it. But again, because there's a lot of things where like, okay, he might not have been able to stop it for his own protection. Again, we don't see the actual video. Mm. We just get told it's very graphic. So I'm not defending that he just watched and didn't stop, but I'm wondering, had he come forward, would that actually have been better for his future rather than 10 years down the line, now he can't say anything at all?
I think he must have just thought, like, this is what I want to do with my life. This will fuck it up. If I grass on Al Monroe, this is going to fuck it up for me. And he was doing everything in his power at the end to fucking, like... cover it up as much as possible, like when the police came, like we were saying, that's when he would have had the opportunity and he didn't take that opportunity and he just made
laughed because you could hear the plop in the background. Not because we're talking about a very serious topic, but I made a note, even when the police come, they ask questions like, do you think she could have hurt herself, do you think she's crazy? They didn't say do you think she's crazy, but a couple of the questions were basically asking, do you think she's crazy?
Yeah.
And I was like, of course the police are immediately like, come on, is it her fault? Is she a bit mad? And I'm like, oh my God, we have not progressed since Victorian times. Yeah. Where it's like, do you just think she's crazy?
Yeah, do you think she's run off?
Oh my God.
And the policeman was so like nice to Ryan as well and so accommodating.
Yeah, because you're a pediatric surgeon, you have to be nice to them.
Yeah, like, oh, this is cute.
That's a rapist.
Like, looking at the children's drawings and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh yeah. And he was just trying his best to just get out of that situation as quickly as possible.
No, he was. And again, but like, he had that chance to redeem himself and not be a piece of shit.
So do you think, so after this film has happened,
yeah,
so when this video comes out,
mm-hmm.
so it won't be that Ryan is necessarily charged with anything, but he may lose his license because that's he was part of the trial, he was part of the case. People will know that he was involved in some way.
That's why I'm wondering. Doubt over
him. No one's going to take their kids to see him.
I don't know how to Google. I was going to Google that, but how suspicious is that going to be on my Google search? If you get caught in a rape video, I don't know. And I don't know what it means for him now. And I think this is the problem. He's built up a practice.
Well, I mean, rapists kind of don't really get anything.
No, so that's true.
Let alone a bystander.
No, that's true. That's true. He doesn't get arrested until murder.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Nobody cares.
It took Cassie getting murdered
for anyone to give a shit.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know yet if people would have been like, well, he was in a video of rape and therefore his name would have been dragged for the dirt. But as I said, I think if you, and this is the thing, if you come forward earlier, it's going to have less repercussions because you'll be the better person for coming forward to defend rape.
Yeah.
Rather than just letting the fucking rapists get away with it.
I suppose at the time, like, you just kind of think, like, oh, well, you know.
Young, dumb and clueless.
Yeah.
And I do think
this could benefit me in some way in the long run, so I'm just going to leave it. I was there. Like, that's kind of what he's thinking. Like, that could mean something bad. So me handing in this tape is also going to be detrimental to me.
Yeah, no.
It's all about him.
Because you do hear him say on the tape, don't show my face.
Yeah.
So he knows it's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
But you can hear his voice anyway. And his name. That's the fuck's up.
Like,
oh God, so fucked up.
And I just feel like that moment when Cassie finds out.
Oh, it breaks the heart.
And like the music and like her face.
Oh, so well done.
It's so well done. So yeah, so the evolution of Ryan is, he's a very interesting character.
He's well done.
Very, very well done.
He did a good job because it's very
Bo Burnham was amazing, and it was real, and you kind of, you were like charmed by him throughout the film.
Yeah, I felt like I was. I was like, I really like him. Like, everyone wants to date someone like Ryan.
You kind of go through Cassie's journey.
Yeah. Yes.
Where you're like, oh,
and then
he's
says, oh, I think I'm falling for you. And you're like, yes, Cassie, this is great. Yeah. But
it's positive. Oh, hesitant. Oh, we're good again. Mm. Oh, you wanker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, she had issues previously with like going up to his house. Yeah. And this, and he was very understanding about it.
Yeah.
And, like, and also, what was very interesting was the fact that he caught her on a night out with one of them. Yes. And the fact that, like, it made him seem like a victim. Mm. Like, oh, poor Ryan. Like, yeah. He's now been, like, lumbered into this thing. I feel really bad for him.
That's a good point. And, I hadn't thought.
And it was the fact that Cassie had to come back and be like, please, let's, I really want to date you. Let's do this.
I hadn't actually thought about that.
It puts Ryan in a victim complex. Like,
I hadn't thought about that, but you're so right. Oh, my God. It's so infuriating.
I know.
What piece of shit.
I know.
Should we talk about the bachelor party?
Oh God, I think we need to.
Yeah. I did make a comment, and it was probably in poor taste, that they should have got jail time cuffs.
Mitch gets it.
That whole walking up is like...
It was such an epic scene, though. She looked fucking unbelievable.
So epic. She looked unbelievable, but the whole time she's walking over there, you're like, something big is happening.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know, I mean, you can kind of tell what, because she's dressed like a stripper. So you're like, okay, so she's going in under disguise. But you don't, you could not have told, even if you told me the ending, I wouldn't have believed you.
Mm.
Such a good fucking ending.
I know.
We'll get there. We'll get there. But then, obviously, Schnarks, the sexy dance. But she obviously recognises some of those guys.
She must do.
They don't recognise her. I love the fact that they showed the necklace while she was eye level with them.
Mm. Almost like she's got, oh well, because now we know later down the line that she's wearing Nina's necklace.
Yes.
So, she is, right? She's wearing
Nina's. Yeah, she's wearing Nina's. She leaves
her own.
She leaves her own to Gale.
Yes, that's right.
Which I think was actually, like, a really nice full circle.
Yeah. So yeah. It's almost like, if you want to be... a bit symbolic with it, it's almost like Nina is face on face, head on with her rapist.
Yeah.
And with the rapist accomplices.
Yeah, through her best friend. Mm. I would do that for you.
I would do that for you.
Yeah. But it's like, as soon as she started pouring it, the fact she bought her own alcohol, I knew something had been messed with. I knew she was up to something. Mm. But it's...
And they were so stupid that they were just like, yeah, get it in me. Like, yeah, it's completely locker room boy, like. Knucklehead mentality.
Yeah,
where it's just like, I don't give a fuck. She's hot. She's giving me alcohol. Let's go.
Yeah, I did write down strippers are fucking badass and brave because the fact that she used to walk in and, like, I can't figure the right word, but dom essentially 8 men at the same time, maybe more.
Mm.
Like, it was fucking impressive. Mm.
Very scary situation to be in.
Fucking terrifying. Mm. Again, so vulnerable in the middle of nowhere. And I know, and this was the thing, I know she put herself in that situation, but fuck me, did she have a backup plan? Mm. our drinks are coming. I feel like this was the right film to do together because
I think so.
We've had some very serious topics interrupted by alcohol.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I did all the facts, but even then when she like straddles him and she's like, oh, you don't have to do anything to me upstairs, but I don't get paid otherwise. Like, I did wonder, do you reckon that happens actually with some strippers? Yes. Where like, yeah, where the guy actually doesn't want to do anything, but they're like, I don't get paid, you have to play along. That's so fucking clever. And then just like cuffing him to the bed and then just slipping in Nina's name. But immediately, again, he just thinks it's Joe playing a prank on him. Like, he's just laughing it off. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what you fucking did. He's not laughing, he actually finds it quite horrific, but because he knows what he fucking did.
Mm.
So
the bit that got me was then when she walked in and she was like, oh, you must be the groom or whatever, and then it stops in her tracks when she realizes it's him, and it must really have like been a lot for her to see him
fucking hell.
But the fact that he was like, oh, I don't really do this a lot, like, I'm a good guy, like, I'm a gentleman, I don't really do that. And it's like,
oh, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
We all know it.
That seems to be a running theme in this film. Is that
men are a piece of shit.
Well, that, but also the fact that, like, it's men making themselves seem like the gentleman and the nice guy. And that's very true, I think, even in real life. You say you're a gentleman. I mean, I'm sure me and you have come across
men a nice guy
that we've spoken to that say they're nice and...
Not a fucking chance.
Not a fucking chance.
And it's and weird.
That's very true, I think.
Yeah, you kind of get a vibe sometimes. Like, an actual nice guy doesn't call himself a nice guy. It's so true. And it's like, and again, it's like the worst is on the internet. When guys are like, I'm a nice guy, why don't I? And 90% of it incels, where it's like, I'm a nice guy, why don't I have a girlfriend? So one, no woman owes you anything. You don't just get magically owed a girlfriend. That's not how this fucking world works. And two, the fact you have to call yourself a nice guy proves you're not a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So what the fuck? And 90% of them are incels because, again, they think like they're fucking owed a girlfriend. Like, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Most women are saying fucking single these days because not literally worth our time. Hey. But I say having just been poured a cocktail by my partner. But I did think it was interesting. Again, one, absolutely shocked by the smothering scene.
Very long.
Long, but I still expected her to get up. Like, even when it was over, I expected her to sit up. I was so shocked. And it was, I didn't actually believe it until Joe came up the next morning to the pillow off her face. Because I was like, how has she not moved yet? I was fucking shocked.
Yeah. Totally. 100%.
And at that point, I was like, there's only 10, 20 minutes left.
I couldn't believe that she died.
I couldn't believe she died. What the fuck? Actually blew my mind.
So would you have preferred if she'd survived? Because I was talking to a couple of people about this. And they're like, oh, I didn't really like the ending. I loved the ending. But what did you think?
So I loved it. Like, I kind of wanted her to survive. However... when you saw the plan and the rest of her plan, I was like, okay, she went in guns blazing. That's the equivalent. And men are like, oh, you know, love the action films. That's the equivalent of the guy going, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, and going into the gunfire. That's essentially what she did. But she had the backup plan. And she sent the tape, if I disappear, please get this release. And it was the fact she sent it to the lawyer. And I was like, that's his chance to redeem himself. And hopefully that then... domino effect, and he does start doing more.
Do you think Nina would have done had she not died? Would she have carved? Sorry, not Nina, Cassie. What do you think Cassie would have done had she not carved Nina's name into? Do you think she would have just carved it and then left? Do you think she would have killed him?
Interesting.
What would have happened had Cassie not died?
I think she'd have carved the name. And I think she would have sent the tape, at least hopefully, to his fiance. Because can you imagine marrying someone and then years later finding out they're a rapist when actually someone knew before you married them? Like, no, fucking tell me before I made that fucking
mistake. That would be more ideal.
So, whether it went to the police first, I would have at least wanted it to go to the fiancé. Because then again, he was then done for murder. We never actually saw him get brought up for rape because that tape was still with the lawyer.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that Joe knows he's a piece of shit and already tried to run away. And I was like, cool.
Okay.
Because it would have been fucking hard for him to explain why he had Nina carved into his body to his fiance.
True.
Although I'm so glad. I couldn't believe one cuff broke and the other one didn't. Because I was like, come on, they're both. I'm so glad she bought shit cuffs.
But then, so as you say, she had this backup plan.
Yeah.
Ryan thought he got away with it. Al thought he got away with it.
Yeah.
But
it was the fact, I made notes. It was the fact when Joe came up, I literally thought, why are people so quick to defend men? Because, and before you go, oh, she's a man hater, I'm not. But before anything else fucking happened, some of the first lines out of his mouth were, this is not your fault. And you did nothing wrong. And I know it's his best mate, but he's saying that to someone who's just committed murder. Like, I love you. If you kill someone, I'm not going to tell you you didn't do wrong. Unless they were, maybe if they were attacking you. But she was attacking him because he deserved it. It's very hard because I'm like, okay, if you were being attacked, but if you deserved it for raping the guy, I'm not going to defend you. Like, it's so fucked up that he immediately was like, this is not your fault, you did nothing wrong. Like, no, he
fucking, there's a reason he's at the Stag, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because he knows everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, you, no, mm-hmm. no.
If you knew my past, you wouldn't be at my hen do.
Yeah, if I knew you'd fucking done that shit, Jesus.
You wouldn't be around me, whereas
yeah.
this guy is with him, well, I say through thick or thin, but I mean, he fucks off at the end. He like, He's like, no, 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 they won't catch me, we'll be fine.
I mean, through thick and thin until the actual law turn up.
Exactly.
And like, oh, wait, there are
fucking hilarious.
There are consequences to our actions. Yeah. Shit.
But it is like he's a child and he's being like, he's crying yeah. and he's just like, oh my God, you know, my fiance's gonna leave me. Like, this is
who really, fucking who? You don't deserve a fiance, you're a piece of shit.
And it was all of that. And like, he was literally like weeping and just being so. Oh God!
Like
just awful, an awful man.
But even the fiance is only spoken about in terms of her looks.
Yeah,
because
she is.
She's referred to as a bikini swimwear model.
Yeah,
And then Joe puts in his speech. He calls her a solid catch. And I was like, "Is that all you have to say about this fucking bride? Like, what the fuck, dude?"
So embarrassing.
Mm. I did mainly know. I really expected Joe to turn up at the bachelor party as she was getting suffocated. And like redeem himself. Mm. And again, when the police turned up, I expected him to redeem.
Ryan?
Yes, the boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
And like, yeah, when the police were questioning him, I expected him to go, oh, actually, she said she might go to the stag do. Because he fucking knew. So he probably knew what his mates had done.
No, he was hiding it all.
And he was hiding it all. Hiding it all. And like there was so many chances.
Mm-hmm.
At least two.
Ryan had a lot of chances.
And he just didn't because he prepared himself.
And that's what I think was amazing about this film, was that it did give him a chance to redeem himself.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, I've watched this film. I've watched this clip, but I'm a better person now. And that didn't happen. So there was really no redemption for Ryan whatsoever.
And then when they were burning the body, I was like, Joe is way too calm about this. Like, when he just kicks the hammer, he's way too calm. Like,
I found that really upsetting.
Yeah.
That he just...
He didn't care. Like, Al actually looked kind of like...
Al was kind of looking around.
He looked uncomfortable.
He was just a little pussy who just, like, was scared and a crybaby and didn't want to get caught. And he did something and he just expected someone else to pick up the pieces.
But I think as well the difference between them was he was the one that did the murder. So actually, if the police turned up, he would be the one convicted, whereas Joe was just being a friend.
Mm.
And I think... Joe kind of was fine with that. It's like, oh, it doesn't matter because I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
Whereas Al actually looked like, oh my God, I feel sick.
Yeah.
But I think it was more because he was like, I don't want to be caught, not because he murdered someone.
Mm.
Sorry, nothing now.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, interesting. And I love the song pairing with it.
Yeah.
Angel of Morning. And
yes.
Like, Ryan looking at his text messages.
Yeah. Yeah, as you could see them coming through, and I was like, what the fuck is she... I loved that, unveil of what she'd done.
Mm, that was amazing.
I was a little gut, he was the only one that got the messages, because I kind of wanted Ryan and Joe to... Joe to also get them. But I don't think she had his number, so fair enough. But I wanted them all to be scared, because I was like, you've all fucked up. You all know you fucking have.
You had chances to redeem yourself, and you didn't do it. Cassie gave you a lot of chances.
So many fucking chances.
I think
I get why people wanted her to survive, but I also think it was a really fucking good ending.
Amazing. So,
my laptop is notifying me of things. Oh my God, such a good film.
I know.
I haven't got anyone SFX on this, to be fair, because it was minimal SFX. So I actually didn't look it up, which I probably should have. What I did want to look up was more about the director. I didn't get a chance to do that.
Emerald Fennell.
So I may have to put more of that on the Instagram.
Yeah, so she directed Saltburn.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's more recent.
Yeah, and I think they're the only two that I'm fully familiar with. Oh, Barbie, of course. She directed Barbie. No, she didn't. Did she direct it?
She did direct
it. Greta Gerwig, I'm so sorry.
I was going to say, I was like, I'm sure it wasn't her.
No, Emerald Fennell was in Barbie. I apologise.
But this was... I think, and I might be completely wrong, but I'm so sorry. I'm trying to find her direct. Yeah, oh no. I was going to say it was her directorial debut.
Mm.
She did have one before this, which was Careful How You Go, but it was a short. So I think this is the one they kind of count as her main feature length.
Okay.
And then, as you say, and then Saltburn, which was more, well, I say, way more recent, as if 2020 was so long ago. That just felt like a very long
We love year. To think it is. It was so long ago. She also played Queen Camilla in The Crown.
There you go. But yeah, I think she fucking killed it, to be fair.
She's actually in this film.
Is she?
Yeah, she plays the influencer when Cassie's trying to copy the blowjob lips. she's the YouTube.
We actually didn't talk about the blowjob lips. And I just
well, think, there we go, SFX.
There you go, SFX. Makeup. I thought that was so well done because it was such a like interesting add-in. Because as you say, actually, as you pointed out, acting quite young, still living kind of like in her childhood bedroom. Watching YouTube videos to do makeup. The house was kind of decorated kind of 80s.
Yes.
But that scene was very like modern teenagers learning to do their lipstick and stuff on YouTube.
They're all clinging on to their past.
All clinging to their past. But also, I mean, I know why she was doing it. Mm. She was trying to look. And then put that change in her face when she's like got the blowjob lips. Mm. And then she smudges it. Fucking. And then like the grin and the subtlety of it later on. It was brilliant because it was that. Yeah, that discarded makeup of like, oh, look at me, I'm a mess. Mm. And I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. And like, and that evening when she wears the outfit and like, it's like this short little dress and it's so different to what she wears when she's Cassie.
Yeah, that's true, actually. It's different. A real costume.
It is a real costume. She's really just putting this shit on.
Yeah.
There's nothing genuine. There's no Cassie in that role.
No, which is funny that like Ryan recognized her because actually she looks so different when she's on like a night out and like workings and because I don't know, when she's got like, the little bunchies, she does look younger and she's in the cafe and
I really did notice the whole kind of like younger look.
Yeah, no, it really was.
But yeah.
Okay. Do you think you'd survive Promising Young Woman?
It's a hard one, isn't it?
It's a really hard one. It's a really fucking personal one as well, I think, because as women living in this world, I think it's a little bit hard.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this isn't a typical horror, so it's not like, yay, we're escaping Jason. So we can avoid this question if you'd rather.
Well, yeah, it's a difficult one because it's a difficult subject and it's real. A different subject and it's real.
I know, I asked that so casually because it was the podcast and then went, wait a second.
I know. Maybe not. And it's a real, like, problem in real life. Like you say, it's not.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to be like.
It's not Jason Voorhees. It's not Freddy Krueger.
Would you survive it? And you're like, what, life? Doing our fucking best.
It's real life for her. And I don't know, I think this time around, we can't really do Would You Survive? Because it's a very different thing. It's a different subject.
It might be better to skip it. Because I think it's more that, like, it's. Well, would you survive being smothered by Al? But as you said, it's such a fucking different scenario if you find yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Shit's fucked. And unfortunately, that's real.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say on that, Al had every opportunity to stop what he was doing.
Would you survive being a woman in 2024? We're doing our best. We're trying fucking hard. It's difficult every day.
It really is.
Unfortunately, as well, some days are, and I will say, some days are more difficult, and that's not like a, just because, again, like you can feel it if you go to a big city. So, like, again, any woman walking around, you'll feel your guard go up. As soon as you have a drink, you feel your guard go up. Like, you and I are drinking at home because we're safe. And it's fucking crazy where we live in. So, please, women, look after yourselves. Fucking drop us a message if you need to. Like, because we know our shit is. So, what are you giving this? Spooks out of 5. Spookies out of 5. And what's your favourite spooky moment? I'm nearly out of this drink. I don't know how you've got so much left.
I might put a bit of ice in mine. It's absolutely delicious, but...
It's delicious and I've drank it all.
I'm all about
Can we quickly show the difference?
Well, I'm all about a Bailey's. It's delicious, but with a bit of ice. So, my spooky moment is when Cassie finds out about Ryan. Because I think that is soups emotional. I think just it's, I don't know, just horrendous. And the music behind it is amazing. Mm. And you're finding out with her.
Yeah.
It's just horrendous.
So that just fucking, it was just horrible because it's just every girl's nightmare when they're into a guy and they suddenly realize that they're not who they say they are, but to an extreme level. So that's mine, and I'm gonna give this 4.5 spooks out of 5. I thought it was an amazing film. You know what, I don't really know why it's not a 5, but like I've said before, like, I don't give my 5s out willy-nilly, so I'm just
lack of information.
This is brand new. Okay, let's just say it. We've had to record this bit a couple of times now, guys. So,
but yeah. I'm acting shocked. 4.5.
Oh my god. So yes. I'm giving you 4.5. Yeah, like I feel like that's pretty high. So I'm happy with that.
It's good to call.
What about you, Tal?
So my favorite spooky moment. I'm gonna go with Cassie's death because I was
really
genuine. Yes, I'm gonna go with Cassie's death because I did not fucking expect it. Fuck off, you answered that so well. Like I'm laughing and it's about someone's, I'm laughing at a poor woman's death because of you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But it was genuinely shocked me and genuinely kind of took me off guard. So I think that was definitely my spooky moment.
Nice.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Pretty
shocking.
As well,
yeah, very shocking.
As we said, she had nothing to lose at that point. Mm-hmm. She just gave it all, like, gave it all for her best friend, which, like, great as a woman, but, like, please look after yourself. And I'm going to, this is the thing, you say, like, 4.5 out of 5, but actually, I've got no reason not to give it a 5. Like, I think it's a fucking good film, mm-hmm. so I'm going to give it a 5. Other than the slight, but I like the fact that Cassie wasn't a perfect character.
Yeah, me too.
Because this is it. Like, she did.
You're not going to be in this situation.
No. And she did questionable shit, like drugging another woman. Not great. But sharp laughing in the background, dude. But, like, this was it. She'd been through a lot of shit, and I think it was real. Like, you can't just make your hero perfect. Amazing! That was our Promising Young Women episode. Check us out next week for another episode. Hopefully, we'll have some guests on. But that will depend on life and circumstances. So we'll hopefully see you then. Until then, bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't die. Don't die. How could we not even sync that up when we're next to each other?
1, 2, 3.
Don't die. No, I was trying to have fun.
Nailed it. Fucking hell. Bye, everyone. Love you.
Look after yourself.
It's not over because that bitch is dead.
Let's delve into that a bit deeper.
I'm going to be like the peacekeeper between you two tonight.
Don't fuck with the original.
Yeah, don't fuck with the original.